Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Text 4. Right? Text 4? Mm-hmm. Have the Sanskrit? Thank you. Nishamya Gitam Taranangavardhanam Rajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa Ajagmuranyonyam halakshitodhyama Sayatra kanto javaloka kundala Nishamya gitam taranaṅga vardhanam Rajastriya krishna grihita manasa Ajagmur anyonyam alakshitodhyama Sayatra kanto javaloka kundala Vishamya gitam taranaṅga vardhanam Rajastriya krishna grihita manasa Ajagmuranyonyam alakshitodhyama Sayatra kanto javaloka kundala Ladies. Nishamya, hearing, Gitam, the music, Tat, that. Ananga, Cupid, Vardhanam, which fortifies, Vrajastriya, the young women of Vraja, Krishna, by Krishna, Grihita, seized, Manasa, whose minds, Ajagmu, they went, Anyonyam, to one another, Alakshita, unnoticed, Ujjama, they're going forward, Sa, he, Yatra, where, Kanta, their boyfriend, Java, because of their haste, Lola, swinging, Kundala, whose earrings. Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. When the young women of Vrindavan heard Krishna's flute song, which arouses romantic feelings, their minds were captivated by the Lord. They went to where their lover waited, each unknown to the others, moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. Report. Apparently, each gopi went secretly, hoping to avoid advertising to her rivals the fact that young Krishna was in the mood for romantic affairs. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti poetically describes the situation as follows. Krishna instigated a terrible act of thievery in Vrindavan when he played on his flute. The song of his flute entered through the ears of the gopis into the inner treasure chamber of their hearts. That wonderful music stole all their most valuable possessions, their sobriety, shyness, fear, and discrimination, along with their very minds. And in a split second, this music delivered all of these goods to Krishna. Now each gopi went to beg the Lord to return her personal property. Each beautiful young girl was thinking, I have to capture that great thief. And thus they went forward, each unknown to the others. Om Jnanata Vandasha Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurumitanina Tasma Shri Garve Namaha Panchakopa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhidevacha Patitano Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Lo Namaha. So we're beginning the pastimes of the Rasa dance. We're in text 4 of chapter 29, so this is the very beginning of five chapters, chapters 29 through 33, that describe Krishna's Rasa dance with the gopis. So of course this is a very, very important part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in the purport a couple of verses earlier that these five chapters are like life heirs, and they are the prize jewel within the treasury of his pastimes. So, obviously, very, very important pastimes, very dear to the devotees. So we'll talk a little bit about the pastime today and the verse today, but I also want to give a little sort of overview or background about how we might understand this Rasa Leela of Krishna's. So the first verse in this chapter, text 1, has a fairly long purport which explains how these pastimes are never material. So I think that was fairly well covered in the earlier classes, that we understand that Krishna's relationships with the gopis and of course with all of the residents of Vrindavan are never on the material plane. These are completely transcendental relationships which are unlike the love affairs found in the material world. So that's of course the first thing to understand, that this is completely spiritual science. This is the transcendental, non-material relationships of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his most intimate devotees, and these are completely spiritual and never mundane. So that's our first understanding. Then the next couple chapters talk about the circumstances, how they're discussed there. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that what is important about these circumstances is the time, place, and person was all aligned correctly for the Rasa dance. So this is part of what is called Udipanas. Udipana is described in actually Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Nectar Devotion as things which arouse ecstatic love. So in other words, there are circumstances around Krishna's relationships with his devotees that particularly instill Krishna prema, which instill or bring out those loving relationships. So here the time, place, and person were all correct. The time was the full moon season of autumn. I think, wasn't it, I can't remember, is it right after Govardhan Puja that the Rasa dances? It's on that full moon? Is it right?
Yeah, it's
the next year. When Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, he was 7 years old. So now that auspicious time has sort of passed, so it's the next year. 1 year later, when Krishna is all of 8 years old, that the Rasa dance takes place. So a year later, on the full moon night in the Kartik season, the month of Damodar, is the Rasa Lila begins. So the time is right, the place is right. It is the forests of Vrindavan, the most beautiful groves in Vrindavan. Everything is so auspicious. Everything is conducive to this wonderful pastime, and the person is right because the gopis are there. The gopis who are the most attractive, the most devoted, you know, the most wonderful devotees of Krishna in the universe are there. So everything is right. The right time, place, circumstance, persons are there for this Rasa dance to begin. So in today's verse, it's beginning. And it starts with Krishna's flute. Krishna plays his flute, and immediately all the gopis are attracted. Their minds are completely captivated by this flute. Of course, the flute is one of the, Krishna has 64 transcendental qualities, and up to 60 of those qualities can be found in other great personalities, some up by the living entity, 50, another so many by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, another four qualities by Lord Narayan and Vishnu manifestations. But there are four qualities that only Krishna in his original form possesses. One of those is his beautiful flute playing, which captivates the hearts and the minds of all living entities, and particularly, of course, the gopis in Vrindavan. So hearing the flute, it's described how their minds and hearts were stolen. It's interesting because in the purport, it's mentioned that their most valuable possessions were taken. And it's noted that it wasn't their earrings and their bracelets and all their beautiful jewels. Those things were not taken by Krishna. What was taken by Krishna was their sobriety, their shyness, their fear, discrimination, and their very minds. And that's interesting, because you can imagine that, of course, in this culture, of the simple culture in Vrindavan, India, for a young girl, her chastity, her reputation would be absolutely most valuable. Their sense of shyness, chastity, these things were utmost, of course, of importance. But those things were of no importance to the gopis once they heard Krishna playing his flute. All of their shyness was gone. Their fear of what? Fear of recrimination, fear of their relatives, fear of their mother-in-laws or their husbands. They were all married. Most of them were married at this point. I don't know if all of them were, but it's described that the majority of them were married ladies. You know, married young girls, actually, because they, of course, were married very early. So, of course, some of the gopis are a little bit older than Krishna. Some of them, I think, are 12, 13. You know, they're getting to be a little bit elderly. I think, how old was Radharani? Anyone know? No? So she was younger, but some were older. Like, you know, her sister, Chandravali, was her older sister. So, I mean, there are different ages. But still, they're all very, very young. So we can't even really understand this by material conception. So, at any rate, they're giving up everything. They're leaving their home. This will be described in the next few verses. They're leaving their homes in the middle of the night. Some of them had young children. They're actually putting the babies aside. They're leaving their husbands, everything for Krishna. It's also interesting that it's described that every one of them thought they were going alone. Each one of them was sort of like hiding from the others, not showing, letting the others know that they were rushing off to see Krishna. So every one of them thought they had this personal relationship that Krishna was calling them alone with his flute. And of course, this is one of the wonderful qualities of Krishna, that Krishna has that personal relationship with every single living entity. Every single one of us, every jiva, has a rasa, a relationship with Krishna. And that's very, very personal. And of course, even in this material world, Krishna is with every single one of us as the supersoul, the paramatma within the heart. And of course, as we become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, Krishna manifests himself personally in that relationship with every devotee. So that's another important point that's brought out in today's verse, that Krishna has this personal relationship with every devotee, and every devotee in Vrindavan was made to feel very, very special. And Krishna would make these special arrangements for each devotee. I was thinking about in the Brahma Vimoha Lila, when Krishna stole all the cows and the he stole the calves and the cowherd boys, and then he manifested himself as the calves and the cowherd boys. So what was the result? That every single mother of all of the boys and every cow, every mother of all the calves, got for 1 year to have Krishna directly as their son or as their calf. So in other words, he makes these arrangements to specially give himself to every one of his devotees. So it's a very, very wonderful pastime, and there are so many things like this that are relishable. This particular rasa dance, these five chapters, are meant to attract the devotees. They attract our hearts to Krishna, but not in an enjoying spirit. They attract us in a serving spirit, a spirit of love and service. Towards the very end of the rasa dance, at the end of the five chapters, in chapter 33, Sukadeva Goswami is doing a little summary of the rasa dance. And in text 36, which is near the end, he says, Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to his devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. So he's describing this is part of Krishna's great mercy, that he manifests himself to us through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, through these pastimes, so that we can understand who Krishna is and become attracted to him. And of course, we are particularly fortunate that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, proclaimed the Srimad Bhagavatam as the prize Vedic literature and emphasized this. And of course, all the acharyas, like the Srila Prabhupada, gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, within the Srimad Bhagavatam is this 10th canto, and within the 10th canto are these five chapters of the rasa dance. So we have these wonderful pastimes to attract us to his service. There's another aspect of these pastimes, and particularly the rasa lila, that's very important for those of us who are conditioned souls. That would be many of us in this room. In the very, almost, I think it's almost the last verse, in 10:33-39, Shukadeva says, anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. So actually Srila Prabhupada even said this once, that if someone is feeling sex desire, to read the pastimes of Krishna. To read about these pastimes so that we can refocus, that energy from material lust to the spiritual understanding of Krishna. So these pastimes are very, very valuable to the devotees, very pleasurable, very relishable, very much appreciated by us. And of course, we're so grateful that Srila Prabhupada gave us these highest pastimes. This is the highest realization of love of God that somehow or another we have received. On the other hand, we also have to understand that there's some qualification for hearing these pastimes. It is not to be taken so lightly, and not that we just jump into, yes, let's hear about the gopis, let's hear about the rasa dance, let's hear more and more intimate pastimes. Sometimes devotees get in this mood of trying to search for some translations of Goswami literature so that we can get the real thing or the real nectar. This is actually not so much advised. In fact, Prabhupada very much discouraged this. We have to approach Krishna very, very carefully, very humbly, and with a service attitude, according to our particular level of realization. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in chapter 23, Srila Prabhupada said, sometimes people indulge in hearing portions of the Srimad Bhagavatam which they are not prepared to hear. Professional readers of the Bhagavatam indulge in reading the confidential portions dealing with the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. That's this, rasa dance. These portions appear to read like sex literature. However, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be heard from the beginning, And those who are fit to assimilate the messages of the Bhagavatam are mentioned in the very beginning, 1.1.2. A bona fide audience fit to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is generated after many pious deeds. An intellectual person can believe in the assurances of the great sage Vyasadeva and patiently hear the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So first of all, Prabhupada, of course, is emphasizing that we hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the beginning. And we've all heard this many times, you know, that we start with the feet of the Lord and eventually go to the beautiful face of the Lord from the first canto through the tenth canto. I was thinking about it. I came to Alach about 7 years ago, and I think we were on the third canto. So it must, if anyone remembers, Chase, do you remember when we started? It must have been almost 10 years ago. That first canto? So basically, we have fairly carefully observed this instruction of Srila Prabhupada and spent many, many years going verse by verse. And of course, not everybody's been here all this time, but you know, that's what we're doing. We hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from the beginning, and of course, many of you have read the Srimad Bhagavatam from the beginning. We've all carefully read the first and second cantos, which really the essence of all our philosophy is contained in just a few of those chapters. You know, in the first canto, you can understand everything about Krishna just from the first canto. So that's the point. We raise ourselves to the point of understanding who Krishna is, understanding our relationship with Krishna. So, you know, those are the process of, you know, that we first have to connect with Krishna through sambandha, and then so we have to understand who Krishna is. Then, you know, the process of abhiteya, which is the process of devotional service, of bhakti, of learning how to serve Krishna. And then finally, prayojya. Finally, at the end, there's prema, bhava and prema, and the higher stages of Krishna consciousness. But we approach these gradually, step by step. Here's another interesting verse in Bhagavatam 10.82. This is actually a story of Siddhama Brahma. He says, O Brahman, actually it's Maharaj Parikshit, I think, when he says O Brahman, Parikshit is speaking to Shukadeva. O Brahman, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly? Now it's interesting that he asks this question. Why would somebody give up hearing about Krishna? And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions in that purport, he says, actually, many persons give up hearing of Krishna even after repeated hearing. So probably 5,000 years ago, not so many people did. But you notice in the Bhagavatam, it's kind of like once a person sort of becomes a devotee, it seems like they're just 100% a devotee. And, you know, it's like the people have such a quality that once they have this realization of Krishna, you know, it's like they're pure devotees, like Nagari the Hunter or something like that. But as we get further into Kali Yuga, it's a little bit different. So even by the time we get to around 1700, which was when Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur was writing, I think he finished his Bhagavatam commentary about 1704. Probably nobody knows how I can get away with saying that. I think it's close, somewhere in the early 1700s. Already, you know, it was very different. We could see people falling away, people leaving Krishna consciousness. So Vishnu says, and he mentions example of jnanis, people who are contaminated by jnana, may read the Bhagavatam for many years, but then they give it up because they don't really have the attraction. And he mentions that this very verse in the Bhagavatam explains the qualification, that there are two complementary processes for hearing. One, it's described visheshagya, one must know the essence of life. And two is vishanakama marganai, one must be disgusted with the endeavor for sense gratification. So those things must be there. Understand the essence of life, that's by carefully studying the Vedic literature, studying the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto, to one understands the purpose and goal of life and understands the practice of devotional service. Then one can continue hearing about Krishna. And one must be disgusted with the endeavor for sense gratification. I think it's interesting the way that it's, and it's pretty close in the translation, the word to word, to the endeavor for sense gratification. In other words, we may still have some desires for sense gratification, but we don't endeavor for sense gratification. It's kind of a subtle distinction. In other words, we're not plotting and planning and figuring out how I can get the most sense gratification. Right? I mean, even though we may have some attraction, the devotee is consciously working how to give up sense gratification and how to become attracted to Krishna in Krishna's service. So that endeavor to give up sense gratification and that understanding of what real spiritual life is and my relationship with Krishna must be there. And if one has those things, then one will continue to become attracted to Krishna. Another interesting one, we read that verse about the glories of the hearing about the rasa dance in 333-39, and how by hearing about the rasa dance, one is able to actually give up lust and material desires. But Vishwanath also warns in his purport, after he glorifies and describes the Srimad Bhagavatam and these wonderful, he again calls it the crest jewel of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, however, Krishna Prema will not appear within those who have no faith in Krishna or who offends the holy name. So again, there's qualifications. There's an adhikari. We have to become qualified to really enter into these intimate relationships with Krishna and enter into these pastimes. So things that we're hearing here, just to sort of summarize on these, the stress on the qualifications to hear about the Krishna's rasa dance. First, we have to know the essence of life. We have to understand completely this philosophy from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1 onward, and not jump to just wanting to hear about the rasa dance or hear about intimate pastimes. Two, we have to be endeavoring to give up sense gratification. Sometimes we hear this expression of sahajya. Prabhupada mentioned it many times, and really very, very much condemned what he called this sahajya tendency. What is sahajya tendency? Well, first of all, kind of literally, it means one who takes something very cheaply. But it often means one who thinks that one can easily and very quickly, without qualification, jump into these intimate pastimes or imitate these pastimes and still even maintain material sense gratification. So that's a very, very important point, that if one is still on the material platform and one is trying to enjoy, then one cannot enter into these pastimes in the right way. One cannot understand them, and Krishna will not give one those realizations. So rather, we have to have faith in Krishna. Says that without faith, also faith in the Guru. Svetashvatara Upanishad says, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So if we have faith in Krishna, if we have faith in the spiritual master, and faith means following, carefully following the instructions of Krishna and the spiritual master, then we don't need to make a special, separate endeavor to somehow, how can I understand the rasa dance? We don't have to worry about that. You simply do our service, and all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. So that's one thing I think that it's really important for devotees to have that faith. Faith in the process and the practice of bhakti yoga. We know there are stages of bhakti. And if we go through those stages carefully and we don't try to jump ahead, we advance. We advance stage by stage, step by step, beginning from Shraddha, you know, to Sadhu Sangha, Nartana Vritti, you know, all the stages until finally Bhavan Prema. And we have to understand. It's described that one cannot understand, really enter into one's sarup, or one's spiritual relationship, one's constitutional position with Krishna, until at least the stage of bhava. You know? And Krishna does not fully manifest himself, like personally in front of you, until the stage of prema. So that takes a little endeavor. That's not going to happen immediately. We can't artificially try to jump into, oh, I have this intimate relationship with God. Not so easy, not so cheap. Take some endeavor. Yes, it comes automatically, but automatically if we are following. Automatically if we are showing Krishna and Guru our sincerity through the process of bhakti. Then, yes, automatically more and more advancement is given to us. Automatically Krishna will reveal himself more and more in so many ways. And there are many steps to that. It's not that it's immediate that, you know, okay, I'm a little sincere, I've been doing this for a couple years now, why isn't Krishna standing in front of me? But yet Krishna does show himself, and we do have realization, and we do see manifestation of Krishna in so many ways. We may hear Krishna, maybe not directly in front of us, maybe it's not, we don't hear Krishna's flute, but we may hear Krishna through his devotees. We may hear Krishna through good instruction. from our god brothers and god sisters and senior devotees. Of course, we hear Krishna's instruction through the guru, through the spiritual master, and we get realization of Krishna's words through the scripture. Now, how many times have all of you experienced that when you just start reading something in the Bhagavatam or something and you go, wow? You know, it's like, you know, a light bulb goes on. Realization is there. You ever had that experience like, I didn't even know that was there. I know I've read this chapter two or three times and I never noticed that. Krishna is continually revealing more and more to us through the heart. Through the super soul, the paramatma within the heart, Krishna is giving us more and more realization. And that realization means he's revealing himself to us. So we don't have to worry so much if I'm not experiencing, you know, Krishna in the rasa dance. Krishna will reveal himself according to his schedule and according to our realization, our advancement, and our qualification. So, and also, of course, we should not commit offenses to the holy name. That's about two or three whole classes talking about the 10 offenses, so we won't go into that. But we all recite those 10 offenses, and we know how important they are. I think Vindravita mentioned that in class, very nice Sunday feast class. He was saying one of the important aspects of advancing in Krishna consciousness is, of course, not committing offenses to devotees. So with the practice of bhakti yoga, through the process of sadhana, Krishna eventually reveals himself little by little. And we will not really understand it fully until stages of bhava and prema. So the devotee patiently and humbly waits and advances as one makes progress in Krishna consciousness. So we might ask then, how should we hear these pastimes of the Rasa Lila? We're going to be reading them. We're going to be studying them. Krishna has given to us, Prabhupada gave us the whole Rasa Lila in 1970 or whenever the Krishna book was published. I was looking at Krishna book this morning, and it's really the same thing. I mean, Prabhupada, you know, in sort of summary fashion, gave us all of the knowledge that's here in the Srimad Bhagavatam is there in Krishna book. So, you know, we've had that information for, how long is that? About 43 years or something? 42 years. So, and think what, you know, at least I can remember how neophyte, still am, but even more neophyte, you know, 42 years ago, than we were. I wasn't even there. I wasn't even in the movement for it. But anyway, the point is, it's one of those paradoxes. In one sense, we're not qualified to even hear the Rasa Lila, enter it, but yet at the same time, the spiritual master has given us this knowledge and give us this information for our purification, for advancement, and for our becoming attracted to Krishna. So how do we hear this? I think, first of all, with humility and respect. I think that's probably the most important. I was thinking, you know, we're entering into a very private relationship, aren't we? You know, if you had like a best friend, and many of us are too old to even remember this, but, you know, your best friend might be, you know, like getting married or betrothed or attached to somebody or starting a relationship. And, you know, it's kind of like a real intimate thing when they talk about what's happening in that relationship or how it's, in fact, devotees don't even talk about it very much. You know, it's kind of a, you know, but it's very, very personal. It's very private. So we're entering into the most private affairs of God. When you think about it, how he's engaging in his Madhurya Lila, the rasa relationship, you know, with the gopis. So we should have great respect, you know, and great humility into that we're even allowed to get a glimpse of this relationship. You know, it's kind of like, for us to sort of like barge in, you know, and like think that somehow, you know, I'm part of this and, you know, I'm enjoying this. It's kind of, in psychology they have a term called boundary violating. You know, it's kind of like when you kind of push yourself into someone's relationship, or you assume liberties with them when you, you know, kind of like get into their personal life and it's not really any of your business. You know, it's like called a boundary violation. So we don't want to be like that with Krishna. You know, we want to approach, you know, very, very humbly and in the mood of actually, in the beginning, on veneration. Srila Prabhupada taught us this. Even though we are worshiping Radha Krishna on the altar, and it is Radha Krishna, still, Prabhupada said we serve the deity in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, in the mood of on veneration. You know, so we dress them very, very beautifully, very elaborately. We have very elaborate worship. It's not just, You know, no, we don't worship spontaneously. We don't say, oh, spontaneously, I think Krishna may be hungry now, and so I'll cook an offering. No, we cook 6 offerings a day. We do them exactly the right time. You know, if we miss it by a minute, people are upset. You know, in other words, it's very regulated. Why? Because we cannot artificially enter into a mood of intimacy which is not appropriate for us. We have to first serve Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which he is. Now, down the line, years from now, if you have that intimate relationship and you see Krishna as your child or your lover, whatever, fine. But even still, when the 6 Goswamis, who are all Manjari gopis, the most intimate relationships, and when they say that they discuss Krishna all night, we can't even imagine what intimate relationships they had or experiencing. Still, they set up strict deity worship. Sanatana Goswami wrote the manual in how Vaishnav should worship Krishna by rules and regulation. They set that example. All we have to do is, if there's any doubt, you follow the examples of acharyas. Did Srila Prabhupada talk about his rasa with Krishna, his intimate personal relationship, which we know he had? Malati, did you ever hear Srila Prabhupada talk about his intimate personal relationship with Krishna in all the years you were with him?
One time.
And probably that was a very... So he answered.
He answered.
Yeah.
But
he did on his own.
In one word answer. We didn't.
Yeah. Kind of like, are you seeing Krishna? Yes. You know, something like that, right? You know.
No, we actually asked him if he was a cowherd.
Yeah?
We asked him if he was a cowherd.
What did he say?
He said yes.
Okay.
I
don't know if I'm really happy to ask this or not. I'm not sure. This will probably open up a whole other thing.
Well, a devotee named Pashtarani has written a poem, which you can still see.
Oh, I remember that.
In the back of Evan Davis, yeah. In 1968. And she's describing Sri the problem as a cowboy, because at that point,
yeah.
And Srila Prabhupada asked that it be printed in the Back to Godhead magazine, so then we became, you know, a little surprised. And we came to him, a few of us, maybe 4 of us, and we asked him if he was a cowboy, if he was a cowboy. And he very soberly, he said, yes. That was it, and we accepted right away.
Yeah.
And later we understood that it wasn't really appropriate to ask him, but because
right.
It was asked in a very innocent way, he answered us.
Right. Thank you very much. Wonderful story. Good. But the point is, in all devotees and all the other devotees, very, very personal relationship, and you know, with Srila Prabhupada, it's not something he talked about. Came up once because they asked him a specific question. You know, so. This is the idea, that we understand, you know, we take the example of the acharyas, we approach Krishna and his pastimes in a very humble way, and we understand and appreciate according to our own adhikari, to our level of advancement. So, in other words, when we're reading the Rasa Lila, take it and understand it as you can, as you're able to. It is a fact that even though we may not be able to enter into these relationships deeply, we still can appreciate them. We can appreciate the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, his fantastic, you know, the things that he does. We can appreciate the loving relationships with the devotees. If nothing else, we can understand these are such wonderful, fantastic devotees. They are showing the topmost level of love, complete surrender to Krishna. So we can learn and gain so much from these pastimes. You know, what we don't want to do is try to artificially insert ourselves into them. We need to appreciate the Rasa Lila and all of Krishna's pastimes with an attitude of service, an attitude of appreciation, humility, and service, and not something that we enter into for our enjoyment. We don't have to worry too much about enjoyment in spiritual life, because if we are actually experiencing spiritual life, the enjoyment, the ananda, the bliss is there automatically. That's there. We don't have to worry, will I enjoy this or not? If we get there, you'll like it. So, in the meantime, you know, we simply execute the processes set in the bhakti, carefully following the rules and regulations, in a mood of service to the guru, service to Krishna, to the deities, and knowing that, little by little, Krishna will reveal himself at his rate, at his time, when we are ready. So, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any comments, questions? Malati, Mataji?
You mentioned earlier
about the fact that Srila Prabhupada instructed that reading about the affairs of the gopis would remove lust. Just this morning I was reading further on that. One person had written a letter, so he mentions that you have said that. He says, but what do we do about anger? And Prabhupada said, you read the affair of Hiranyakashipu.
Very good. So in other words, whatever our problem is, we read about, because we know that everything is a perverted reflection in the material world, the spiritual world. In other words, all the emotions and everything are there. We read about or hear about the purified version, and that purifies us of our materialistic version of that particular emotion. That's great. Thank you. Yes. Someone else? Yes, bro.
So I think you probably explained it, but I didn't catch it. So I will ask again. You mentioned that if somebody has sex desire, that person should be reading these pastimes for purification. But you also mentioned the sahajiyas, that they read these pastimes, still keep material desires.
Yeah.
So can you comment on that?
Well, it all comes down to a matter of consciousness. It's a matter, is what is my approach? Is it for my enjoyment? Or is it for my trying to give up the spirit of material enjoyment? And that requires, you know, following the orders of the spiritual master, and it requires a certain amount of prayer and sincerity. In other words, we need to pray to Krishna, you know, please help me to overcome my material desires and let me understand you and appreciate you in that mood. I don't know how else to say it more simply. It's really a matter of intent, a matter of motivation, a matter of one's consciousness of how one approaches. You know. The sahajiyas that Srila Prabhupada talked about so often do not have the mood of service. They have the mood of enjoying, or the mood of taking advantage, or the mood of impressing people, or the mood of making money off of, you know, like Prabhupada condemned, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam as a profession for money. You know, it's the wrong motive. It's the wrong idea. It's not how we hear and chant. It's not how we want to give Krishna freely to everyone. You know, so, you know, if the sincerity and the motive is there, you know, Krishna kind of takes care of the rough edges, you know, the anartas, the problems, the issues that, you know, we have so many ways that I'm sure that I don't approach reading the Srimad Bhagavatam in the right mood and consciousness, you know, many times. But if there's some little sincerity, you know, that on the order of my spiritual master, I'm trying to hear this Vedic literature, I'm trying to somehow become purified, then, you know, Krishna will help us to become purified. Right.
He said Srila Prabhupada personally told in a morning walk as they are coming up on the Lotus building, devotee were asking this. Srila Prabhupada says, if you feel lusty desire while you're reading Raslila, stop. Go back to the first canto and second canto. And Prabhupada made it very clear that you must thoroughly understand first canto and second canto, because that's the lotus feet. We don't look at Krishna's face immediately, we look at the lotus feet.
That's a really good point. I remember hearing that. Did everybody hear that? It's really important. In other words, if for any reason you are feeling some lust or something, reading these pastimes and stop and go back to the basics. Go back to the first canto and, you know, until one's in a more purified state to hear that. Very, very, very good point. Thank you. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.